previously broadcast program.
Please cast aside. To enter the sky with our bodies, the principal concern for inventing airplanes. No one taught me this, any more than they taught me to say good morning to my hippocampus. But I do, because I love my hippocampus. I was in a band one summer. We never could harmonize. We smiled and kept playing. We loved our united disunity. A wild, stubborn focus, chewing its way out. How awkward the archer, after shooting his arrow, remembering first time getting into bed just for sex. They say I'm old now. Ask my advice. All I have to offer is make as many mistakes as you can handle, but make them as soon as possible. Oh, and don't waste time. Following each other from opposite sides of the river when storm blows wig off my head. It simply means it's the time to let the storm take its fair share.
Other measures to strengthen peace. In the middle of the night again, still water and the birds don't sing. Cold gin in the back room, I'm medicating for the trouble that's coming. Rattle like a diesel freighter, blood races like a wave. This house wasn't meant for strangers, but you can knock it anyway. I can hear you knocking on the door. I won't leave it open for you anymore. I can hear you knocking on the door. Knocking on the door.
Hey, you. Come over here and listen.
Oh, God, I'm so fucking wet. Yeah. Yeah. Like that? Like that? Oh, God.
You can't hear me.
I would love your cock to be inside me. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I'm really gonna come. I'm really gonna come. Oh, God, I'm so fucking wet. Can you see how wet I am? Can you see how wet I am? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
It's time for Audio Smith. It's time for Audio Smith.
Smith, 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 Smith.
A queer, feminist, trans positive radio show about fucking in all its forms.
Four, five fingers.
Let's not beat around the bush. This show contains explicit sexual content. So turn the volume all the way up.
Oh, that was so hot. I'm gonna pee for you now. Are you ready? Yeah, you wanna watch me pee? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pee. Yeah.
To Audio Smut. Welcome to Audio Smut, the Equinox edition. We have three humans in the room today with three human bodies that have just experienced three human days. And I'm going to invite us, all of us in this studio room and all of you listening at home, in your cars, at work, in your beds, wherever you are in your human body listening, with headphones or earbuds or on computer speakers or on radio speakers, I'm going to invite you to take a deep breath. I'm going to invite you to take stock of your senses. What is it that you can see? If your eyes are shut, you're still looking. What is it that you can hear besides my voice? Is there a clock ticking in the room you are too? What can you taste? What does it smell like? And what are the sensations running up and down your skin? As simply as that, I will invite us to return to our bodies as we begin this conversation with two incredible creators and myself, Jamie Ross, as we talk about the equinox and Eros. Welcome. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. Welcome into fall. Fall just arrived, and we are arriving here through and after the summer. And I don't know for you, but oh, what a time. My name is Dani Tardif. I'm an artist, a creator. I'm a community organizer. And I'm a member of a collective that's called SIP Postporn. We organize queer postporn events. It's been a year. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Susie Showers. I am a clown. I am a aspiring drama therapist. And I'm doing research on sexuality and older adults in long-term care specifically. So I'm excited to be here as the leaves are turning red. Finding heat in bodies that are in states of change. How can we bring intimacy into more rigid spaces?
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting thinking about the fall equinox. Thinking about balance, definitely. And we were just talking a little bit about the important shift from Virgo sun, when the sun moves from Virgo into Libra. What does that mean for you guys?
Well, as a Virgo, I really don't like astrology. So I think I'll leave that there and just listen to you.
Well, for me, it's easier to talk with astrology, like through astrology because of the symbols, but then it's also like energy that you feel through the season. I feel like the blossoming of this summer came to a point when I came back to Montreal at the beginning of September. And September is sometimes just that brutal coming back to reality and to the earth and to your bodies. Mm-hmm. And for me, it has been brutal because the summer was ecstatic. And I had so much fun and so much revelations. And I feel like I have three lives, you know, through the summer. And now I came back and I was like, oh, matter. Matter is looking at me in the eyes, and it's hard because it's not organized. And so I went through Virgo into structure, structuring matter. And this can be sacred work. But through that comes transition. Light is diminishing, it's getting colder, and so we need to work, go into this transition, this change, which brings a lot of stress, in order to prepare for what's coming, for the winter, building your nest. So I don't know for you, but I came back to Montreal and I had to find a job and change my home. And so in through all this activity, where is my connection to my body? How do I relate to senses, sexuality? How do I feel sexy into my day? How do I still maintain the quality of connection, of intimacy that I'm, you know, nourishing myself with? That's what I'm thinking about when I think about equinox and Libra and Virgo. Yeah.
I celebrate the equinox religiously. For me, it's one of my favorite of the stations of the solar year. And for me, it has so much to do with houses and homes. In my summer, I usually, everything's strewn about. I'm strewn about. I'm always moving and going and doing things. And my literal home, but also my body home, and just how my spirit is. I'm messy as fuck in the summer. I have new lovers, and I have new fucking shit everywhere, and then my garden is exploding, and I have too many things to do, and not, it's just, everything is so hyperactive and brilliant and fucking incredible. And when equinox happens, I clean my house every year. And it's one of my big rituals for the harvest. And what we do in the harvest too is we bring in those blessings from the fields or from the woods. We bring in those mushrooms, those apples we pick, those garden herbs to dry. But we also bring ourselves in. And for me, this gesture and this movement of the, like, the messy strewniverse into the ordered, full larder of the home is such a deep, deep inward directional practice.
Jamie, just the way you're moving your hands, it's like there's a big inhale of summer, and then that drawing, like the exhale of like kind of shrinking down to get into the ground, get working. And as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, I feel hungover from summer.
Yes.
Yes. I'm like, oh, what about that version of me who was like just springing all over the place and just making art, pew, pew, pew. Like, where is that creature? And so how can I court her back into the like the tighter spaces.
Yeah.
As things are getting darker.
What it makes me think about is that how do you take care of that creator after this print, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you integrate everything that you've learned through your journey on your way back home? Because if you're not giving yourself time and permission to transition, to give you that space, that spaciousness to integrate, how do you learn, you know? Mm. How do you go back? How do you prepare again for your new journey? So it makes me wonder, if you've been in the summer luxurious, you know, new lovers,
indulgent,
relationship ecstatic to yourself, you know, I've been indulgent in my relationship to self and creating my self-esteem and my sense of value. Mm. And now I wonder how I make space into that structuring, into this reorganizing, to integrate this and to set intentions for myself into this transition. How do I take the time to shed skin? And how do I not do this too fast? Because I want to get over with it and I want to blossom again.
And we're here talking about intimacy, and that happens in relation, right? That happens with another person, or like in holding ourselves as well. We can be intimate alone. But when you're shedding skin, that's an exhausting process, being in that liminal space. So can we like use that energy that it takes to shed a whole skin, leave that shell, and put it into our relationships too?
And especially, how do you do this when you're not at the same pace?
Mm-hmm.
When you're not on the same journey?
Mm-hmm.
When you're transitioning into different spaces? When your relationship is undergoing transitions, and many kind of relationships, how do you still make space to have the time to encounter each other into those spaces?
I mean, always, right? Like, secretly, we're always changing,
moving.
And that, like, when we're comfortable, we're dead, right? When there's, like, no more change to be had, we're like, it's over.
It's so real. Sometimes I just wish there was going to be one moment where we're going to stop and everything's going to be under control. But it's not. It's not going to happen, I know.
I just saw the greatest meme the other night. It was, tell ourselves that next week everything is going to get quiet again.
That's it.
Every week, and then we die.
Yeah.
It never happens. We'll never get to this point where we're just, everything is stable and we've suddenly found perfect structure and we don't want anything to change.
Mm-hmm.
The change will always come.
And I think we're... Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think that's important, and this is what makes us live. I think it's just my Virgo moon is talking, where sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish it was just, oh. But however it is in those moments that you can see yourself and see others more brightly, you know, because then there's like things, bodies, objects that are moving, and into those cracks, you're like, oh, that moment. This is... I'm going there.
The cracks. Let's meet there.
Mm?
Let's meet in the seams.
Mm.
And let's, like, have hot, sexy times there. What do I say more? Like, those... I'm thinking of BDSM, actually. Mm. Those, like, very deep and very narrow places of encounter. Snip. How can we, like, catch those opportunities when we're steaming ahead into dark times and productive to school and work and this and this?
Uh-huh. I think what how BDSM sometimes is bringing me the structure that is helping me to get into that creative space or into that into that space where I can relax and where I can access my body and my sensuality, because it is bringing me a container and a space, and I can have a delimitation. It creates magic space because it's not my daily life. It's not my daily routine. It could be, but it's also setting intentions about going on a journey that has a start and an end.
Wow.
And where I can allow myself to change, how do you say this in English? Like, change focus, you know? Instead of going into structuring, I go into myself.
Within structure, that's where you can play.
Yeah,
I can journey, I'm thinking play. Of like this pressure of being in a tight structure in the fall, and then the kind of, let's say, like the dark side. The dark creative side is also structured.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think that even in chaos, there's kind of structure, right? But if you don't have intention about those cracks, how do you relate pressure through pleasure? Like we were talking earlier about, like, I think that pressure can be creative if it's channeled. Like change and transformation energy can be bringing you toward shedding your skin, into creating intentions. But how do you channel it so that it's not just like pressure?
How can
and
we
chaos
be
and
surprising and yummy to our partners? How can we really see them in these times when there's so much happening?
Yeah.
Is that on the like way that you were going?
I
don't know.
Going into that space. You know?
The archer Apollo in the cracks said this, laughing softly. "You trickster, Hermes, you sharpie. The way you talk, I bet you've broken into a lot of the expensive homes in nights past and left a lot more than one man with nothing to sit on than his door sill." When you guys talk about cracks, it makes me think of the edges and the spaces that are neither nor. The spaces about the equinox that for me are the turning points also. And everything you're saying reminds me so much about my favorite deity, a deity who I've really developed a working relationship over the last years, but also especially at these turning points in the season, when the summer's over and the cold year begins. And for me, that's Hermes, on the edge of the city, on the edge of the town, and the wilderness, or the space outside. The space on the lintel or the threshold, the space where you're not inside and you're not out. And I feel like that right now, as we're on that edge point where we can sense that the winter's coming very soon. There might be snow on the ground in 3 weeks.
Wow.
But also we were wearing shorts last week. And it's this quick tilting precipice where we might lose all of this that's built up all summer. And all of this exciting stimulation, this yumminess, as you said, we're right at the edge. And at that momentary edge, I swear, for me, Hermes lives. On the edge of the mountain, as the mountain begins in the foothills, and the valley begins at the bottom of the mountain, that edge where you're not quite sure even how to define it. For me, that's the equinox time, too. When the spring is so faint, bubbling up out of the ground, you're not sure if it's a river or a pond or a petite flaque. It's like, how do we define relationships when relationships are still so new and formless? How do we don't have words for it. We're in that liminal space without words. There's no social form for it. We have a crush from the summer and we can't fit it into that logical Libra Cartesian mold. How do we work it? What do we call it? Wow.
I love what you're saying. It's so interesting. And it makes me think about the everyday sacred. Like, for people who are listening, we have been playing with sounds with everyday objects. And I think those kind of how do you walk into the world so that you actually give presence to what is without even trying to like rationalize it or structure it? How do you embody your walk through life into the everyday?
Mm. Can we decide to clown these objects? Mm. No, you're using them in ways that are unusual. And that's, I think, why clowns are funny. Is because they flip it all upside down as mischief. Mm-hmm. And this it's a daily practice of, like, getting more flexible to see the weird, cool parts of things that, like, brushing our teeth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the sensuality of, like, things brushing against your gums, slowing down these body habits that we have, and demechanizing the body away from zombieing for efficiency. And just, I think, I hope by having those kind of little check-ins of like, am I here? am I doing this right now? Or am I time traveling? I think that that is gonna stretch out those cracks to get us relating, get us in connection. Yeah. That's a book cover. Sorry, I ruined it.
Hermes. Someone left a door open, a crack. Hermes has let himself in.
Rubbing the covers, are we?
But I feel like what both of you are saying is talking about exactly the kind of work that Hermes is doing. Mm. The work of connection, the sacred work of getting into each other, and how do you pay attention to this? But also, like you were saying, Jamie, you're having this new connection, this new summer crush, and you indulge into this. And what happens next? You know, like the way that the normative culture taught us to enter in relation is that after a while, you're going to stop and question and then try to structure it and try to understand it. And then it's going to be this transitional stress of like feeling like this relationship need to change stage.
Like an evolution, like a unidirectional evolution.
There is a direction that you're supposed to go to, and change is good. Thinking about your relationship and having focus and intention is good. That's not what I'm saying. Or good or bad, whatever. I think it's okay.
But I think you're saying, are we like going on a path that we didn't build? Mm-hmm. Like you said, unidirectional. We're just charging ahead, not really thinking, but like we've been together for 2 years now. So dum da dum da dum.
Yeah, or also just like the stress that some people are going to have, and they're going to be like, oh, I have this connection, but now I'm going to have to withdraw from it because I'm not allowed to just indulge. This is becoming meaningful. This needs to transition.
I nearly spat my water all over the table, by the way.
Is September hard because we leave the relationship anarchy of the summer behind? When we enter those institutions again, la rentrée is the re-entry, right? We're returning. And it's often to those institutions, to school, to work, and to routines, to weeks, even. We live our lives in weeks in so much more of a coherent way again. I wonder if our relationships too enter that, the stress, or they start holding the burden also of those unidirectional evolutionary tracks.
Yeah, and relationship anarchy, but also play in general. Because even with older established friendship, lovers, partners. When you come into September, in my experience, all of a sudden, all the boundaryless, how would you say that? Limitless possibilities mm-hmm. of play and adventures and spontaneity disappears. And there's something that I enjoy in that, because then I have intention settings and I have priority, and it helps me ground and it helps me grow. But I still want to be able to play and devour and have an appetite through this structuring and this change and this, you know?
And we have written in red on this paper in front of us, slutty intentions.
I know, I love it.
Yes. What are our visions that we can have for pleasure? Mm-hmm. I have visions for finishing my master's and then going on, and I have this idea of what I'm moving towards.
What are your slutty intentions?
My slutty intentions? How dare you?
Dear Montreal, Susie's slutty intentions.
Absolutely not. Career focused only. Danny, what are your slutty intentions?
So, I'm a very career focused person. I made a 5-year plan last year, and I was so stressed about it, and now I feel so good about it, because now I'm like, no, this is okay. This is how I function, and I want this. However, I never did that for my personal life or for my relationship to intimacy, to sexuality, and I think I want to do it.
All right.
And when we were talking about this, or like making this mind mapping, I was wondering, what are my slutty intentions? Mm. I used to think about that. Or I'm a sex geek. I read so much about everything and all the practices and all the plays. And I have a list of things I want to do. But what is my vision? What kind of sexual being do I want to become? And if I have this image of that creature I want to walk toward, what are the baby steps that will bring me there?
What I'm hearing is like... I'm not looking at activities here. I'm not looking to cross things off a list. Mm-hmm. I want to have a feeling under it. And that, I think, is going to like ground everything. Everything's going to spring up from there. Like, okay, if I do this, am I going to feel the way that I intended to? Yeah? All right, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, I don't want to have sex like I do a task. I don't want to have sex in a mechanized way. And I don't think I do. But, you know, if I have an idea of how I want to feel... I will recognize it easier. I'll be like, ooh, this is exactly what I want in my life, and I want more of this. And it doesn't need to be some specific actions, because sex can be so much or so less. But it's about, how do I want to be looked? How do I want to be named?
And that opens up, like you said, sex is so much. So if we have a feeling under, like, sharing a slice of pie, like, that's going to be, oh, yeah, get the mastication over there.
Mutual mastication.
These daily things, right, that are like, yeah, just shovel down that pie. It's like we can slow it down. Or we can still shovel it, but we've got this, like, feeling that we want to have underneath it. I'm wondering if that is like, is that realistic for couples to decide that together? Of like, we're going to decide together on a feeling, and then like have an hour where that's...
Or does it have to be the same? You know, if you are having like, maybe I don't want to feel the same thing as the person with whom I'm sharing sex. But it's going to be helpful for me to know how they want to feel.
Yes.
Because then I can help to provide. I can step into this role. I can step onto the stage, you know? I can make it as big or as small as I want. And as special or as mundane. I mean, I don't know, mundane sex. I don't know. What do you think about
that? Hell yeah, to mundane sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I love mundane sex.
Yeah, anti-performative.
And that's what Corinne Diachuk, who's a sexological body worker and does work with somatics, she says, like, who is this act for? You know, I was giving that example the other day of, so if I am, my goal is to give you pleasure. I'm going to do this activity so that you get pleasure. And then the partner is like, okay, I think that I am to perform this pleasure so that they are satisfied. Then it's like you're just doing this act that isn't for anyone. Mm. So if you can be clear of like, hey, I want to do this for my own pleasure. Like, okay, then we can agree that that's going to happen.
We're going to take a quick break, a quick musical pause. And when we come back, we're going to hear more from Susie and Danny. And I'm going to ask you guys some questions. There's a new film that's being made by Danny. Maybe we're going to get a little bit of a hint about it. And Susie, you're doing some really incredible research right now. And maybe we're going to get a little bit of a sneak peek on what you're, what you've been discovering about Eros and aging.
Great.
So stay tuned. You're going to hear more from Audio Smut. This is the Fall Equinox Show. And I'm Jamie Ross, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Jokjage, Montreal. Keep those dials on CKUT.
Hoy no veo la razón de verte, de verte. Las palabras que no dicen nada se las lleva el viento. Queda solo el día preso en la mirada. Eso es lo que siento. Tan dulce, tan triste, más me duele el corazón, me duele, me duele, todas las palabras que no dicen nada, se las lleva el viento. Queda un remolino de hojas que se apagan, eso es lo que siento. Todas las palabras que no dicen nada, sin decir palabras, sin decir palabras.
Noai Banda's fourth season of experimental music performances kicks off on Monday, September 30th at La Sala Rosa. Opening act features a set by electronic sound artist Emily Payeur, followed by a program celebrating the 90th birthday of Alcides Lanza, a pioneer of experimental electroacoustic music in Canada. Performers include Olivier Lizotte and Mathieu Bourget on bass trombone, Julie Richard on tuba, Daniel Agnes and Noam Birston in the piano, and Ishmael Negin, Patrick McMaster, and Andrew Kilpatrick on synths. Our season is co-presented by Suoni per il Popolo and CKUT, with 5 concerts throughout the year. Tickets are $12 through the Suoni website and at the door. Season passes will be available at the show. Monday, September 30th, doors 8 p.m., show 8:30 at La Sala Rosa. More info on Facebook and at noaibanda.ca.
You're back. We're back.
We're back.
We're back together with Audio Smut. And this is the Fall Equinox show, and we're talking about balance and equinox and the equality of day and night. And we're moving inward with this show. And you're joined this evening because it is evening. This is the first show in which the sun, during which the sun has fully set on Audio Smut. And we enter that half of the year. Half of the year's Audio Smuts are afternoon shows. And we have an afternoon sex show where the sun still streams in the windows of the CKUT studios here on the edge of the mountain in Montreal through the parking lot. And the other half of the Audio Smut shows of the year are evening or night shows. And I've always thought about this. This show is 13 years old this year.
Wow.
Audio Smut.
Congratulations.
And it was founded by a collective of sex workers here in the city, and it's been passed to many collectives of hosts. And it's really interesting thinking about it being that interstitial show, that interstitial hour, that liminal hour, 6 to 7 p.m., the supper hour sex show. And I think as we enter the nighttime sex show, it's also interesting to think about all these things that you guys are sharing. Susie Showers and Denis Taltif. Susie, would you tell us a little bit about what it is that you're researching right now?
What I'm gearing up to be researching. I can sort of bumble through. I just felt like a surge of nervousness of like, am I here to present my research?
No.
I was an intern in a care home as a drama therapist intern last year, and just sex was coming up in our groups in the play. It was like people really wanted to talk about this and play it out. And it smashed the conception I had of like old people being sexual. Like, of course, like you're still alive, you're still sexual, or still, you know, passionate about life if you don't feel sexual towards things. So I wanted to bring that idea into long-term care. That like, how can we find intimacy in spaces that are so controlled, where there is so little bodily autonomy, and where the body has to be cared for by others and is handled in these ways that are like for care, as a kind of system that holds a lot of people. So like, what are the ways we can connect to each other? How can we find our erotic selves and bring intimacy and romantic connection or just intimate friendships in a body that may not look or function the way it used to? Can we find those spaces that are feeling really good and grow them? So that's my research, is using embodiment and nervous system regulation, movement to open up those spaces in the body and to connect to other people in drama therapy groups.
Wow, this is so interesting.
That's so cool.
I think it's very special that you're interested about this and that you're doing this research. And I think it ties so well to the topic that we are discussing now, like transitional time, because what is aging what is transitioning into different abilities, mm-hmm. because our carcasses, our bodies are able just temporarily. And so it makes me think about what we were talking about earlier about sexuality and performance, and how do you recreate this relationship to the other or to the bodies or to self when you are grieving different capacities, different statuses, different ways of walking into the world. And I think that's what you're going to be doing. That's amazing, because sexuality is capitalized, you know, like in the capitalist system in which we live, and it is saddening. Yes. You know, it's
a social justice issue for me, mm-hmm. that like we discard bodies that aren't appealing. So bodies that are physically disabled, or that are aging, and that puts those people at risk. Mm. That makes them more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So there's that they are stigmatized, mm-hmm. I think, is pushing them to the margins. Mm-hmm. And that's where people are more susceptible to being hurt, because they're not seen, believed. Mm. But the work, you know, it's going to have that at its core. It's a trauma-informed framework. Mm. But I'm looking at how can we stretch out the good while noticing the activation. Mm. It's really like strength-focused, resilience-focused.
Yeah, because you're talking about sexuality and trauma, I'm thinking about sexuality and emotions. Like this is a fall, this is darkness is coming, different capacity, but different mental capacities. How do you feel sexy, or how do you embrace sexuality with different, with different states, when you're sad, or when you're grieving, when you've just lost someone, or when you're grieving a relationship? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about mental health in those times when mm-hmm. darkness is coming. Mm-hmm.
And also, how do we have to sort of jump in, but to have sexuality without necessarily having sex? Like, I feel like this is the time of year when my sex drive goes down, when I'm less extroverted, and less like, you know, seeking new partners. And so how, for me, do I express myself with the fullness of my sexuality without, you know, having orgasms necessarily, or without having these, like, you know, raging summer hard-ons?
Absolutely.
Which is an aging issue, I think, too.
Yeah, so we're grieving that summer of our life when we have these, like, big, strong hard-ons.
Exactly.
These big desires, because what I hear and what you're saying is that maybe sex is not, you know, sex is not necessarily the need. Like, sex is often not the need.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And often, even if I don't feel sexy, if I don't feel like, I don't really feel like going through all like the spectacle process of
the
sexuality.
Spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel seen. I want to feel desired. I want to feel special.
Mm.
And this doesn't need to go through orgasm, but it does require this attention, this presence, this quality of presence that ask us of, like, slowing down, of looking at each other. And this is romance. This is sensual.
And it's community care so often, I think, too. I think that you're bringing up social justice as the framework and foundation for what you're doing is so appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
As we critique this idea of self-care as the only way to give ourselves the care we need and enlarge that to, you know, be held by more of a community perspective? Like, what does it mean to be sexually active with your entire community if the community is holding your sexuality and seeing your sexuality?
Oh my God, how can we be seen as sexual beings by more than our partners? I want to be seen as a sexual being. I don't want to be seen as just like this brain on legs.
Or this thing that needs to be taken care of.
Right, to be given service to.
Yeah, it's like another name on the list to check off and move on.
Absolutely. How do we see different kind of bodies that we have never been allowed to see as sexual and give them back a like their sexual energy in a way that they want to be seen too?
Because and respecting that, like, and respecting I don't that. Need to desire you to see that you are sexual.
Absolutely.
I think that's where the stigma comes in, is there's a kind of like this fear of like, is that going to be me? And like moving so far away from it to a repulsion almost that we are ashamed of.
Right. Yeah, because there's a connection between disgust and shame. And we're, I don't know, I've grown, learning that shame in relationship to sexuality is the way to go. And expanding this discussion has been so healing for me, and now community is the next conversation I want to have.
I was just sharing with my friend the other day, with Coral. We were in a drive the other day, and I was just sharing about this lover of mine, and they were visiting, and it was this fall moment, and I sit in meditation beginning in the fall, and my intention for this year is that I sit from now until the spring equinox, and every morning. And my lover joined me in that in the mornings during this visit, in this week visit up to Montreal. And I was just telling my friend how deeply romantic that was.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just being quiet. I drink coffee also, like, as I meditate, which is, like, absurd, and people think it's, like, the cheesiest.
I do the same.
Do you?
If anyone out there drinks coffee while meditating, please,
I'm breaking the rules, Gemini.
I'm so glad that just happened. But we were just, like, it was just this thing where, like, I'm on the edge of getting a cold, and, like, we'd had this foursome the night before, and, like, it wasn't that there was no sexual vibe, but, like, they're just... We were just kind of, I don't know, in our underwear, a little black kind of morning. And just having him there next to me was such a deep sexual, non-sexual, erotic experience for me. I can't say what it was like for him. Maybe he was having a perfect, you know, meditation in his own body, aware. But for me, it was this awareness of the two of us sitting in that living room that was... Just like you were saying about being seen and being with others, it was really special. And I think that's something that's like, maybe this is stereotypically winter or fall time sexuality, but it was just the two of us not touching, not looking at each other, not saying anything to each other, but just sharing space.
Being alone together, does that match that? That your nervous systems are like humming along together. And like, we're good here, but we don't need to be enmeshed right now.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful what you're sharing. Thank you for sharing this moment. It makes me think about how we raise sexual energy. How do we bring our awareness to this? I think in the last year, my most beautiful, intense sexual activities has been in moments I was not touching the person with whom I was sharing this.
Oof, this just, could be a whole show. I love that topic.
Just about like, oh, this is the intention. This is how you're looking at me and sensing you and letting you enter my psychic world and giving you permission to this. It's just really hot. Sexy. And sometimes I've been feeling more connected this way than when I've just had sex with people I didn't let them in. Right? ASMR. Just like, you touch me, but you are not...
Yeah.
You're not close to my soul.
Oof. That's like so ecstatic and so hard at the same time, right?
Yes.
That, like, it brings up all the times when, like, you have sex and you're, like, squishing bodies, but who's there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's ecstatic and hard. Also because sometimes I dream that I could have this kind of experiences with everybody, but I can't and I don't want to. So having a spectrum of different experiences of intimacy.
Intentions?
Slutty intentions are really sad, I feel. There's been some interesting intentions coming out. Mm-hmm. And we have to seed this space that we've been holding. Thank you so much for coming in and speaking about these really interesting, important issues. Thank you both.
Thanks so much for
having us. Please come back on Audio Smut.
Oh, sure. I would love to.
And before we go, Danny, would you tell us about, you have a date coming up for a screening.
So next Wednesday, October 9, I'm showing a collective movie that I participated in. It's called Run, A Country of Ghost, H-R-O-N. It's a queer sci-fi that we made. It's inspired by a book by Margaret Kiljoy. So it's at Bar Le Ritz. Please join in. It's going to be fun.
Thanks for listening.
Supermoon and all the diamond deals I made. Never used to live this long. Pioneers, my dear Poisson. Move along. And if my smile is painted on once in a while, I can count on you to notice and to take me out. Would you like to start a river?
McGill University's 4th annual Queer History Month is taking place this October. Join in later in the month for more exciting programming, including a chat with an elder session from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 19th, a zine-making workshop on Thursday, October 21st from noon to 2 p.m., a trans and non-binary in academia panel discussion on Wednesday, October 27th from 6 to 8 p.m., and finally a queer open mic night with performances by Opera Queens on Thursday, October 28th, also from 6 to 8 p.m. Queer History Month will be opened and closed by Elder Gawenodas Sedalio Fazio. Visit the Equity at McGill webpages, www.mcgill.ca/equity, for a complete list of Queer History Month events organized by McGill's Office of the Provost and Vice Principal Academic and their partners. The goal of McGill's Queer History Month is to raise awareness, advance education, and increase visibility of 2S LGBTQIA communities by recognizing their histories and contributions, building bridges, and bringing together McGill students, staff, faculty, and alumni, and Montreal community members.
Welcome, friends and comrades, brothers and sisters. I'm Doug Miller, and this is Amandla Radio, a weekly show with news and analysis from about and on the continent of Africa, dispelling negative myths and stereotypes that you get from the mainstream media, and bringing you the background, in-depth insights you won't get from that same mainstream Western media, here at CQUT 90.3 FM. Last Thursday, September 30th, Canada commemorated the first National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. The major Montreal event was organized by the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal, Nakaset is the director, in partnership with the Assembly of First Nations Quebec-Labrador, AFNQL. This event is part of the Every Child Matters movement to commemorate the tragedy of residential schools. It was a large gathering and march. There was a sea of orange shirts and flags with the focus of the day on Every Child Matters, those many young people torn from their families who never came home. Nakuset hosted the event and gave speakers from Indigenous communities every possibility to publicly explain, decry, denounce the colonial mindset has its steely grip over the settler government with its capitalist backers.